I'm going to take you guys somewhere this morning that you probably haven't been for a while. I've been there recently. But you might have to blow some dust on it, and I'm just being facetious. But Numbers chapter 6. I teased you about Numbers last week, but we're actually going there this week. So Numbers chapter 6, you can put your fingers in there. But I wanted to ask you this. You all know who Joshua was, right? Joshua was who? Oh, we all know who Joshua was, but we don't want to say who he was. Who was Joshua?
He was a spy.
He was a spy, okay? He was a man that called upon the Lord and followed him in faith. The Lord called him to do a task, and he did it. He didn't think about it. He didn't doubt it. He was also one of the two, him and Caleb, that went into the land, that spied out the land, and they came back with a good report. They were the only two out of how many? Out of 12. They said, we need to go into the land and do as the Lord said, because the land is, just as he said, flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. It'll be plentiful. It'll be bountiful. We need to do as the Lord has said. Was Joshua blessed? Yes, he was. He was blessed. Okay. Another Bible test 101 would be, do you guys remember who Jacob was? Who was Jacob? What's the best story you know about? What story do you know about Jacob? Fighting with God. Okay, he was fighting with God. He was wrestling with God, right? He wrestled with God. And why did he wrestle with God? He wanted a blessing. He sought the Lord's blessing. I will not let you go until what? You bless me. You bless me. Okay? Who is the brother that got entrapped and put in a hole in the ground?
Joseph.
Okay. Was Joseph blessed? Okay. Did it seem like he was blessed at the very beginning? Not really, right? Because he got picked on by his brothers. Did he kind of bring it on himself, though? It's like the Lord gave me a picture. He gave me a dream. You guys were in it. And guess what? I ruled, you drooled. Right? My sheep stand amongst all of your guises, and they all bowed down to me, to mine. Do you think he was like picking a fight? He was like kind of bragging. Okay, and what happened as a result? His brothers didn't like him very much. And they did what? They threw him into a hole. They were going to cover up his killing. And luckily, one of his brothers, who was it? Reuben. Stood up for him and said, no, let's not kill him, but let's sell him to some Egyptian traders. That'll take him away, take him out of our place, and we won't have to be bothered about him. And then what we'll do is we'll kill an animal, and we'll spread blood everywhere, and we'll take his cloak. What was so important about his cloak? Many colors, okay. All the women go, many colors, it was really nice. What else about it? His father gave it to him. He was treasured. His father treasured Joseph, seemingly above all his other sons. Right? So they come back, and they've done the dastardly deed, and they tell his father, Joseph's dead. What does his father do? He weeps, he mourns, he fasts. His countenance changes up until even the very day that what happens? There's a famine in the land. The brothers come searching for food. They find Joseph, who has been put in what place? Authority. In charge over all of Egypt of the king's stuff. and more important, the food and all that thing. He rose to prominence. He was put in chains, but he rose to prominence, to rule. And it was within Joseph's hands to bless or to curse people. You need food? Oh, I could give you food. Will I give you food? I don't know. I seem to recall, you brothers, that you were mean to me. That you threw me away. Left me for dead, basically, going to Egypt and sold as a slave. Joseph had a choice. I can either choose to bless them or curse them. Why do we say that Joseph was blessed? Because the Lord looked out for him. The Lord had plans for Joseph's life. Even though in Joseph's mindset and in his perspective and in our perspective too, right? This is bad. God, this really is bad. This is not a good situation. This really, you know, I want to say S-U-C-K-S, but I don't know if it's appropriate. But that's what I'm thinking. I'm going, this really sucks. Lord, help me out of this situation. Deliver me from this situation. Lord, you say that if we call upon you, you will help. Do you think Joseph lost hope? Sometimes. Would you lose hope? When you're faced with something that you're going, Lord, I'm calling out to you. Your word says that if I call out to you, you will hear and you will answer. But what if he doesn't answer? Or what if he doesn't answer in the way that you desire is the perspective. Right? Did the Lord answer? Yes, he answered. What are sometimes God's answers? Yes, no, not yet. He always gives an answer. We might not like the answer. But what's required of the answer when he gives it to us? That we obey. We obey his answer. So we agree that Joseph was blessed. He went through all the junk and all being cut off from his family, being lied about, being despised. But then God rose him to prominence. And he said, Joseph, I had a plan for you all along. And that was to put you in this place because I knew what? There was a famine coming. And your people were going to need you. And specifically, your brothers and your father were going to need you. Joseph, I had a good plan for you. Even though at the time, and I know you went through heartache, Joseph, it was for the best. Now, how many of you, how many of us, if the Lord had put a caveat before any of the experiences that we've gone through, or go through the experience of Joseph, would say, okay, Lord, I'll go. Yes. Shaking our heads is like, I don't want any part of that. Even though the Lord said, I will bless you. I will be faithful. And I will see you through. What do we call that? We call that faith. We call that trust. But it's hard. It's hard because we know in God's word that he says, anybody who follows me will what? It's going to suffer. It's going to have to go through stuff. Not just because, but because God has plans for us, but also that he wants to bring out the best in us. He wants to purify us, the Bible says, as what? As gold and silver. To take all the dross out of there, right? If I was way back when I was a kid, And somebody told me, God has nothing but good for you. I probably would have looked at him and said, yeah, right. Eight men that my mom married and divorced. Eight different households. Living from one place to another. Her being in prison four different times. Me being in foster homes twice and living on people's couches that I didn't even know. I would have said, no way. I would tell you, is like, no, there's no blessing on me. This really does not, isn't good. We've all been there. We've got something in our past that's made us who we are today. That God has intentionally is developing within us who He wants us to be. But the choice is this. Is we can either walk in God's blessing, or we can walk in His cursing. We can either decide to follow God and where He's leading, or we can decide, I don't want any part of that, and I know better. I can choose autonomy rather than intimacy. Do you think Joseph, at some point, thought God's abandoned me? I definitely think so. Because why? Put me in Joseph's spot, I would think the same thing. Definitely. There's many times where I cried out, God, why have you done this? Why have you left me? Why have you separated me from my mom? Why? When Jackie, Taylor, and Michaela's mom was prognosed with cancer and passed at the age of 28, I'm going, why? I'm going, take me. Why did you take her? And that's when I just started in the ministry. I'm going, Lord, if this is what it's all about, count me out. I'm not here. Bad things happen to us. Are we blessed? If good things happen to us, are we blessed? Which side do we tend to shade to? The good things. Not the bad things. Because in those bad things, we're more apt to blame who? The devil did it. Right? But the truth is that we read from Scripture about the sovereignty of God is that God allows things to happen. Amen? Yeah. He allows things to happen. Nothing happens without His hand and His approval. Now put that in our thoughts and think about that. God is sovereign. There is no one or no thing, no person stronger and with more authority than Him. So God allows things to happen. He allowed Job to be what? Tempted and tested. He allowed that to happen. But He said to Satan, He said, but only you can't take his life. Why was this whole encounter, why did this whole encounter happen? Because the Bible says Satan was wandering in and out of the earth. Wandering, looking, wanting to cause havoc, mischief. Says Satan is what? A lion looking for someone to devour. God says, they've considered my servant Job. He's righteous. Without sin. Oh, he's only that way because why? Because you bless them with all that stuff. You bless them with the car and with the house and with the wife and the children and the really nice job. You bless them with all that stuff. But I tell you, God, if you take all of that away and you allow me to take it away from him or even infest him with sickness and disease, he'll curse you to your face. What happens? God says, I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet. If I was Job and I was present and I heard that, I'd be going, are you crazy? Right? Who's human with me? I am. I'd be going, you got more confidence in me than I have in myself. But isn't that true? God knows us better than we know us. He says he knows how much we can take. He knows that we're followers of Christ. We can be resilient. We will be. We can be. He has more confidence in us than we do in ourselves. So he says, I will not give you more than you can handle. I'll always give you a way from out underneath the trouble. And how many of us are going, yeah, sure, okay. Right? We've all been there. So sometimes our life can feel as a curse and not a blessing. Where's God? Where did he go? If he cares so much, God, if you care so much, you'll take this situation and you'll make it right. Question is what? In whose opinion is it right? Because we always want to take God off the throne and we sit on there. Even in our prayers, right? Lord, make this happen. It comes from a good motivation, though, because he says, if you seek and ask, I will hear and answer. And he says, I'll answer. But he doesn't say, I'll answer that exact way. Right? Exactly. How many of you think that, you know, Joseph was praying as he was being taken away by the Egyptian traitors? Sure, he's praying. I'm thinking he's praying lots. Are we blessed? The Hebrew word is what? I get a kick out of this. You might too. Barak. Barak. And it's used more than 330 times in the Old Testament. And it means blessing. Bless. And it first appears in Genesis 1:22. After God finished making the living creatures of the water and the winged birds of the earth. And he said what? He blessed them. Right? What day was that, by the way? Anybody? Fifth day. So God blessed them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Evening came, and then morning, and the fifth day. God blessed the crab and the tuna and the lobster. I'm glad he did. They're very tasty. If God chose to bless fish and the creatures of the earth, would he not bless you and me that much more? In fact, God says that very thing. Genesis 1:27-28 says, God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fishes of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. Isn't that a good thing? God even blessed a day, the seventh day, and he declared it holy. Why? Because he rested from his work of creation. Isn't that great that every 7 days in our calendar is different from then, but we practice Sunday as God's day. God blessed us with a holiday every week, the seventh day, to rest. It's a Sabbath. Does God bless you? Does he care for us? But just don't think about the good things. He does bless us in the not so good things from our point of view. So the Lord taught his creation to bless as well. He instructed Moses to inform who? Aaron the priest, as to what they were to do with the Israelites. And that's where we read in Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look with favor on you and give you peace.' In this way they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." Did you catch that? "I will put my name on the Israelites, upon them, and I will bless them. I will bless them." To receive a priestly blessing was to have what? The love of God. The love of God, or better yet, the favor of God put upon you. Isn't that a great thing? We sang about that. The favor of the Lord. When we sing, "Blessed be your name," what are we saying? Favored is your name. Favored is your name. Israel was saved, and they were saved to be a what? Blessing to the world. And the good news is that we were grafted in on that tree. When Israel turned from God and God said, "Okay, it's time for the rest of the world to be grafted into the tree, I bless you at the same time, and you are to be a blessing to the nations." Did you know that? We're each to be a blessing to the nations. Zechariah 8:12 says, "And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong." And then the Apostle Luke, Acts 3:25 says this, "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'Ye, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" Okay, Acts 3:25. We disciples of Jesus are to be blessed of God, and we are, but we are also to be a blessing. Romans 12:1-21. Those that we welcome to membership this morning, on the back of your card is this verse. This is reflected of our covenant. Our covenant with one another, our covenant with God. This is actually how to be a blessing to others, how to be a blessing in your fellowship, how to be a blessing in the earth. And the Apostle Paul spells it out. He says this, "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. This is how you are to worship me. Love must be without what? Hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor." Wouldn't you love to see that? Outdo one another with showing honor. "Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Underline that one. Bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for whose wrath? God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping what? Fiery coals on their head. Finally, do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. That's what God's bride, his community, his church is to be. That's who he calls his followers to be that make up the church. That's who we are to be. That's the covenant spelled out in the New Testament. That's the long version of what? I will be your God and you will be my people. I'll spell it out for you. The Great Commission, the Great Commandment is even shorter. It says what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. With all you are. And go and tell everybody about it. This is the long version. Because maybe the Apostle Paul realized the people need it spelt out. They're Romans afterwards. We're Canadians. Right? The Romans had law. They had steps they put in place. This is how this is done. This is how it was done. This is how it's done. The Greeks did the same thing. Paul knows this. He's ministering to the Gentiles. He's going, okay, let me spell it out for you. This is what it looks like. What does it mean to be blessed by God? It's to experience the love of God, the favor of God. That's what blessing is. What is it to bless others? Is to share the favor of God upon them. To love them as God loves you and I. As he gives his mercy and his grace to us, we are to do the same. That's what it means to be a blessing to others. Practical question, how do I know if I'm being a blessing to others? Do you ask? Go, hey, Dick, am I a blessing to you? I worry about the question. I worry about the answer, right? Well, to save us pain, ask yourself, to whom do I enjoy giving to? Is it myself or others? Which do I take great pleasure in? Myself or others? See, because we know that if it's about us, if I'm being centered upon myself, I will spend most of my resources, my time, my treasure, my talents on who? On me. Is that being a blessing? No. God says, as freely as I've given, freely give to others. We live under a closed heaven when we don't bless others. We live under a closed heaven when we don't seek the favor of the Lord ourselves to give the favor of the Lord to others. He says, seek, ask, and knock, and it will be given. The prayer of Jabez says what? Jabez was so concerned about the Lord blessing him that he would not leave without him being self-blessed by God. Jacob prayed what? He wrestled with God and said, I will not let you go until you do what? Until you bless me. Story about Jacob is interesting, right? Because we all know Jacob was like a kind of scrupulous guy, wasn't he? He was like a liar, right? Let's call it. He lied. Who hasn't lied? Who's lying right now? Jacob was a liar. Jacob thieved and worked his way, and he stole the blessing of his brother. Right? Put on, you know, the best fur that he could find, covered his hands, covered his arms, and knowing what? His father was blind. Bless me, Father, here I am. And to make sure that the ruse went through, he did what? His brother was in dire straits of sustenance. He'd been hunting and hunting and hunting and came in, and the picture we have is that this man, is he reckless? Possibly, probably. Lived by his impulses. He comes in and he's famished, like he's gonna die. And Jacob has what? Stew. He says, give me some of that stew. And Jacob, the good businessman he is, does what? He negotiates. I will give you the stew, Marty, if you'll give me the deed to your house. That's not the answer I was expecting. Come on. He's not as impulsive. But his brother says, yes, 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 you can have the blessing. I wonder if he thought it was in jest. I wonder. Because he got mad when he discovered that Jacob went in to the father, gave him the stew that who makes? His brother makes. His father knew the stew that his brother made. It was really good. He loved it. And he brought that same stew in and gave it to his father and then asked for the blessing. What's the one part of the story that we haven't covered? His mother. Joseph, or Jacob, you need to do this. Because why? She loved Jacob. Oh, dastardly. This is like an episode of Dynasty. You remember this? Some of you are going, Dynasty? What is Dynasty? It's an old drama, soap opera, on the evenings. Anyways. When we seek things for ourselves that are not what God desires for us, we live under a closed heaven. We live under a closed heaven. When we don't follow as God wants us to do and we ask for the blessing of God, we live under a closed heaven. He may give His Spirit, and He will prompt us by His Spirit and go, you know what, Doug? This right here. You need to take care of this, right? Has that ever happened to you, Doug? Yes. He's going, what are you picking on me for? Right? So, do we follow in obedience? You know, do we do the things that He wants us to do? Do we pray? Do we read our scriptures? Do we spend time with Him? Do we practically, hey? What about my time, talents, and my treasure? He addresses that. He addresses that. He says these are practical things. Why does God go down the practical road? Why does He do that? Because He knows we get caught up in the practical things. And He says, I know you. I know you human beings, and I know you're going to get caught up in the practical things. Your attention is going to get swayed to these other things instead of me. So if I learn to give on those other things, what happens? God can bless me with other things. Bigger things, maybe. Right? You have children, right? Or you were a child. What did your dad or your mom or your grandparent or maybe your brother or sister do if you wanted to learn to drive a car? Did they go, oh, here you go, take it for a spin? No, they didn't, right? I remember my mom's, her one husband, Lee. He was good. He was good to me. And I wanted to learn to drive. I was at the age to drive. So what does he do? Give me the keys and go, hey, knock yourself out. No. He gets in the passenger seat with me. And we start driving. And he goes, it's best if you learn from a stick shift. Because if you can drive a stick shift, you can drive anything, right? I'm thankful to him today for that. But that first trip was kind of rough. I'm going around the corner on a gravel road. And you guys know where Alberta Beach and Onaway is, right? This is when I lived out there. And I'm coming up to the corner, and he's like, slow, okay, slow down. Slow down. Right? And I take the corner on a gravel road at 30 kilometers per hour. I didn't stay on the road. I found the ditch. He slammed on the brakes before I could damage the car to any great extent. But you wouldn't do that with a child. You kind of go, okay, let's take a first step first, right? I'll let you do this. And if you do this well, then what? I'll give you something else. And I'll give you another thing, and I'll give you another thing, right? Isn't that how God works? Doesn't he work that way? He goes, okay, you know. He goes, Keith, I'm going to start you here. Why doesn't he do that a lot of the times? Look how important I am, right? Get the ego, get the pride. Other thing can happen is that it overmatches us, right? And we fail. He goes, well, let's not go there, but let's start down here on the knee hill, not the mountain. Start on the knee hill because I know you're going to fail here, but you're not going to hurt yourself so badly. And then we'll slowly build up. That's the way God works, right? So I'm going, God, really? My life from basically age 8 to graduation, I would never go back to. Never. And I was going, why? Why? Never want to go back there. But God builds within us and blesses us with experience that might be battles. You agree with that? Blessings can be battles. Right? Because he wants to see us walk through. He wants to see us walk through. He wants us to persevere. He wants us to endure, he says, right? So that we might be ready for the day that he comes. For that day that he has something else planned for us. So you walk through those battles. So that you come to that point where he wants you to be. And he'll bless you even more. Right? David was who? A shepherd. If you asked David and went back in time and said, David, you're going to be a king. What do you think David would say? Not a chance. Tom, if when you were born, someone said that you're going to be Prime Minister of Canada. He's laughing. Would you say, okay? Ooh. Ooh. I'm not going there. I've been accused of being political before, so. I'm going to sum this up, though. We can either choose to live under the blessing of God in an open heaven, or you'll choose to live under the curse of God in a closed heaven by either obeying him and following. Do we do as the Lord instructs us? Do we live life his way? Do we obey him? Or like the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. You've read that. What was their accusation? What was the rebuke? They were lukewarm. He says, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to what? Spew you out or vomit you out of my mouth. Not a pretty picture. Because you say I'm rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing. This is a wealthy church. It's a wealthy body. They don't need anybody or anything. They don't even need God. And you don't know that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold, refined in the fire, so that you may be rich in white clothes, so that you may be dressed in your shameful nakedness, not be exposed. An ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. Saying, this church does not see. Does not see the truth. You do not see the actual condition that you're in. You think you are good, but you're not. As many as I love, he says, I rebuke and discipline. So be committed and repent. It's a stinging rebuke, but at the end, there's grace. The whole thing is grace and mercy, because he could plainly come and not warn. But what does a good father do? What does a good mother do? When you see your child going over to the fireplace and they're like 2 years old, it's a pretty flame. Look at that. I'm going to touch it. Michaela tried to do that. She said, don't touch that. It's hot. Right? A couple days later, we see blisters on her fingers. She went and touched the fireplace when we weren't around. And she's like, I'm not going to tell anybody. Right? Just because God is love does not mean that all is well with everyone. Right? Doesn't mean that. And that's a famous thing. We figured, we were talking the other day, this probably started coming out when? In the 70s, right? Woodstock time? That kind of thing? Was that what we were talking about? Right? God is love. It's free love and all this. And okay, we're going to take a different strategy with people. No more hellfire and brimstone, but we're going to talk about God is love. The pendulum went from here to where? Here. No balance. In the middle. God is a just God, he's a righteous God, he's also a loving God and a forgiving God. Right? Let's not have this incomplete picture of Jesus holding a lamb. Jesus is a warrior God too. He's a king. And a king is given what? All authority. To do good, to do good, to do good. To correct when needs to rebuke when needs to. To extend loving kindness when needs to extend forgiveness and grace and mercy and blessing. What did we read about what happened to David and to Moses and to King Hezekiah? Remember King Hezekiah? He forgoes God for protection and goes to human means, and God says, you're going to die. What does Hezekiah do? He repents and realizes his mistake, and he asks God and pleads with God to forgive him and bless him with life. What does God do? Blesses him with 15 more years. He's a marvelous God. To live under an open heaven, we've been walking through all these things, but just briefly, ask for the outpouring of his favor in prayer. Do you ask God for his favor in prayer? Ask for his blessing. He says, ask me. Ask me. There's a reason why Jacob and Jabez wrestle with God. What about the persistent widow? Right? She keeps on coming back day after day after day after day to the judge. And the judge is like, I got to relent. I got to give this lady what she wants. And God says, then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay to help them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. And did you know that Jesus prayed with tears and cries? In Hebrews chapter 5, 7 through 9. During his earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. When we come to God, we get to come in the proper mindset, the proper frame. What's reverence? Humbleness. It's bowing before your King. So do I wrestle in Christ for God's blessing? Is there a reason why maybe I'm not seeing God's blessing in my life? You know it. No one needs to talk to you about it, because God's already speaking to you about it. And you need to take care of it. Secondly, live clean before Him. Have I confessed my sins and repented before Him? James 5:16 says, Confess your sins to one another, so that what? You may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and is working. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? And three, wait upon his answer and expect to receive one. When we pray to God, do we expect to receive an answer? We need to. We need to be in that mind frame. And not necessarily the answer that I want. Right? He says, I will answer. But who's God? Who knows better? He does. Live obedient to Him through faith. That again is John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Is His words in me? What's that mean? Am I reading His words and I'm putting His desires, His commands in my life? Am I implementing them? Am I living by them? If I'm doing so, expect God to answer and to bless. Practice these things He has instructed. So again, John 15:7. Revelation 1:3 says what? How many, by the way, have read Revelation? This is an interesting phenomenon, because I've talked to people about this before, and I've met Christians that have been Christians for a long time and they've never read the book of Revelation. Do we know that the book of Revelation is the only book that promises a blessing to those who read it? Do we know that? Yeah. As Revelation 1:3, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it. Oh, good thing. 6, give as God gives. This is my command, love one another as I've loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is what I command you, love one another. John 15:12-14 and 17. These notes you get from Larry. He'll put them in the sheet. And finally, it says this in Jude 20:21. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You guys are probably going, where's the Holy Spirit in this? Right here. It says, pray in the Holy Spirit. What is the greatest blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us? He gave us life, but He gave us the counselor to teach us how to live this life and walk through it on the earth. As a guarantee, as an assurance of our life with Him, but also to live in this world. That's the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us, He guides us, He leads us, if we're willing to listen. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Do I pray in the Holy Spirit? Do I seek Him? He's God, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful. He's the one right now that God the Father and God the Son work through. We need to remember that. Am I living under an open heaven or a closed heaven? Let's pray. Father, thank you for... Father, I worship you. I thank you for the words that you've given. And Father, I know that for me it was a very busy week, but only these words come from you. Couldn't have studied and done all of this without your words. So I thank you. I give you glory, as we should give you the glory, not myself, not man. Father, be blessed, be glorified. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.